All right, it is 4 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UTC. This is Holy Macaroni from my Epoch Sec account. For anybody listening to this recording, it'll probably be some silence for the next little bit. It's only my second one, and it takes some time to get the visibility out there of this. So I will give this a little bit. Hopefully, some people will join. I will kind of walk through the introduction of the project again, like I did yesterday, and give some basic tips, kind of some entry level tips and stuff. And then, if anybody has any questions or anything like that, we'll cover that. But yeah, again, if you're listening to this recording, there's probably going to be a bit of dead silence, and I will also annotate when I post this. If you're listening to this recording, you'll see where you clicked on this recording on my website. I've annotated, where's the best spot to start listening. Thanks. All right, for anybody that's just deciding to listen to the open air or dead space while I wait to see if anybody joins, 5 minutes in, I probably mention this every 5 minutes until I intro, which I'll probably intro at like the 10 or 15 minute mark, and then I'll go through some basic tips and stuff at probably the 30 minute mark, unless anybody joins and decides to bring up a topic, and we'll cover that instead. But we'll see. All right, I'm going back on mute, and we'll just wait. Okay, we are just doing a check-in. We're at the 10-minute mark. I will officially start my introduction at the 15-minute mark, so 5 minutes from now. And yeah, if you're listening to this recording, you could probably just jump to that part. Again, I'll be doing these intros and stuff this week, and if anybody hops in, I'm glad to forego that to help anybody out. So I'll go back on mute and I'll be back in 5 minutes to go through that. Okay, we are at the 15-minute mark. If you're still listening to the recording and you jumped to the spot, give me just about one more minute. I'm typing something up, then I'll start going through my intro. Okay, so nobody has joined yet. I did have a few people join yesterday, and listen in, but today nobody yet. I do see there's a bunch of other spaces happening right now, so I'll get into more of an actual schedule as I go through my intro. But this week's just kind of ad hoc and doing intro spaces, and also just adding in a few basic tips, and yeah. So let me start off by saying, this is a community, the title of this is Community Cybersecurity Support. That's the name of the Fund 9 project, Fund 9 Catalyst project that I was approved for in this most recent funding. I decided to start my project starting yesterday at November 1st, and it will go through the end of October 2023, so October 31st, 2023. The high level overview plan is I am offering free services to the community in the respect that I was funded by the Community Catalyst funding, but as individuals or as teams, I'm not charging, this completely free services for anybody looking for any advice. It could be any sort of question security related at all. It can even you can even stretch it out and be kind of ballpark security related, right? I've, just to give, I'm glad to talk about anything that will help you better protect yourself. A little background about myself. My name is Kyle. On almost all social media, I am Holy Macaroni. That's who you'll normally know me by, but you could call me Kyle. That's fine. I have 13 years of military background in the U.S. Navy, as electronic warfare, and I also supported. I also worked with our EOD team, and in a forward deployment over in Iraq for a year. So 13 years of military. I've also coincidentally also been in cybersecurity for 13 years. That came after my time in the military. So I left the military. I got an entry level job in cybersecurity back in 2009, and that's what I've been doing since. I have done all sorts of things from working with the federal government, managing their security solutions. I've worked with partners, and I've done a lot of consulting. I consulted for McAfee, or known as Trellix now for, I did that for a few years as well. And now for, I guess, 4 years or almost five, maybe, I think. I've been managing a team of consultants. I generally work with large enterprises, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, or if it goes above that, I've worked with them. But I'm well versed in security, and I want to offer my skills to, I want to use my skill sets to offer up helping people out in the community. I'm very active in the community, and so I want to bring my specific skill set to help everybody out. So that's a quick overview of my background. Now back to the project. I think I mentioned the overview of it, where basically I'm here to just help people as best as I can. I will be scheduling for now. So this week I'm doing entry spaces. I think I'm only able to probably get a few in. I'm going on vacation from Thursday the 3rd until the 13th. So I won't be doing anything during that time. I'll be doing during that period, I'll probably be doing research and writing a presentation, stuff to for one, be able to provide something valuable routinely to the community. But I also have to meet an obligation to my project as well, in terms of the time and commitment. So I'll be doing that. Once I get back from 13, back on the 13th, starting the week of the 14th, I will be scheduling these more appropriately, in advance. So every Monday, or probably every Friday, I'll schedule the next week's meetings. Right now, I'm tentatively planning for two spaces on Tuesday and two spaces on Thursday, somewhere around 11 a.m. UTC or EST. So 3 p.m. UTC, as well as somewhere around 4 or 5 p.m. EST, which is somewhere around 8 or 9 UTC. If anybody is listening to this and has any suggestions on better times to get more people, the opportunity to be on here, please let me know. I'll also be doing my fifth one on Fridays around noon Eastern, which is 4 p.m. UTC, to close out the week. Now, as the project progresses, this may change for, a few different possible reasons. Maybe the spaces itself is too much for, too much scope creep for me and time creep for me, maybe. Or if I get more individuals and teams requesting individual meetings, I'll go through that in a moment. Then that might take the place of some Twitter spaces as well. I'll still be holding a Twitter space to some degree, but again, for now, for the first couple of months at least, until I feel this out, I'll be doing these as I've already mentioned, per week. So I'll begin scheduling those when I return from vacation, and share them all out, hopefully every Friday before the following week. What next? Oh yeah, so I also have a website where I'll be posting anything that I do. I'll be posting these recorded Twitter spaces, so that people can go back and reference them. I will do my best to timestamp where I start speaking, or if there's a key spot to focus on, as well as if I write a presentation or an article, or maybe a couple of months into the project, if I do my first video, which I'm hoping to do, I'll post that as there as well. So you'll be able to go to epochsec. So that's epochsec.io. So epochsec.io, and you'll be able to find that on the information feed page. You can also get all of my information on the contact page on my website as well. So something I said I was going to get into was the other part of this project, to where I also put my calendar on that contact page, using Calendly. So I put all my available times. All you have to do is go on there, pick a time slot, click confirm, and it will send you and myself a Google Meet meeting invite to both of our emails. And then we'll meet up and talk about whatever you would like to talk about. This I'm hoping to, my main goal is really help individuals, but I'm also here to help teams as well. So again, if an individual just has some, random questions or things they've been trying to figure out, it could be anything at all security related. If you're trying to set up a Linux computer, you want to know how to protect it, or if you want to know how to just protect yourself navigating the Web 2 world, because, The truth of the matter is we're all in crypto or Web3, but most of the interactions we have are still Web2 traditional internet interactions, to where you are still susceptible to the standard attacks, right? All the phishing style attacks, social engineering, and so forth. I think I got sidetracked by mentioning that. But yeah, please go check out my website, schedule a meeting if you would like to talk to me. Let's see. I will also be sharing a survey. I got this advice actually from the challenge team members at Catalyst, because I wanted to do a survey and I just wasn't sure how. So what I'll be doing is, if I have an individual or a team session, after that session, I will give them the survey to fill out. But also, due to the fact I'm doing these Twitter spaces and so forth, what I'll do is publicly share that it'll be the same survey, but I'll publicly share that once a month and ask people that who's attended to anything or read anything I've done to shoot me some to fill out a survey. It'll be very basic. I'm probably shooting for just 3 or 4 questions. I really just want to understand if it's was useful to you at all in any way, and then I'll probably have the third or fourth question will just be if you thought of any kind of tips or suggestions or positive comments, right? Anything. So I'll be doing that as well. Yeah, so sorry, I had a mute for a moment there. Back to the outside of the Twitter spaces, individual meetings, etc. Just to reiterate, I'm looking through my list of things I wanted to make sure I talked about. One of the other things I'll be doing up to 2 presentations per month. It just depends on how involved I get with a presentation. These Twitter spaces, these individual meetings, these presentations, as well as whenever I start my first video in a two second or third month, it will be varying levels of knowledge. Probably, I'm not really sure yet. I would probably guess 40 to 50% of it will at least be very basic entry level stuff, because most of us are not in the cybersecurity space or have that expertise. So I just really want to give you the knowledge and some tools to help you just on a daily basis, improve your protection, how you're interacting on the internet. But I will get some medium level of knowledge as well. I'll talk about some more useful things you can do. I'll probably explain how to understand, for example, I might show you how to better understand email headers, or how to make use of MX Toolbox website, or understanding different terms and concepts in an IT world. Maybe dig into what an infrastructure looks like, or when you're interacting with a website, what's really happening, right? It's not really going to epochsec.io, right? It has an actual name, and that's an IP address. The text you usually see it, you see is just a it's a is DNS. It's just a pointer to the IP, right? So, and then there's other things like people host their content on content sites and stuff like that. So I'll go through some of that too. So some medium level stuff. Then I'll also get into some more high deep complex stuff. I might go through maybe an explanation of the MITRE ATT&CK framework. I'll also, share some cool things around all of my work when I've supported our forensics teams and incident responses. So what does an incident response look like in today's age around credential harvesting, data harvesting, ransomware, those popular attack styles? I thought about also doing a couple of sessions too, to where I might advise, go through advising on how to on what sort of path to follow if someone were to want to get into the cybersecurity field. The fact is, the cybersecurity field is very under-personed, and it's a great field to get into if you're interested. One of the things I like most about this field is there's not a day that goes by where I don't learn something as well, even as long as I've been doing this. So it's always nice, right? And it's always fun. It's and to be honest, you if you stick with it, you'll probably always have a job or able to find a job very easily. At least for the foreseeable future. I'm not sure, things change, right? But yeah, so that's kind of the premise overall direction I'm taking this project. I would really like to also see this project inspire other people with, there's a lot of people in the community, so Cardano community specifically, right? Or any crypto community where they might have very unique, well sought after skill sets, and maybe they aren't related to coding something on the blockchain or writing smart contracts, etc. But maybe a lawyer or I don't know if a doctor might apply. I'm not sure. Or maybe someone that a project manager. Who knows, right? Just different skill sets out there that might be very useful to the community. And maybe maybe they'll use my idea and get funded through Catalyst and provide free services to the community. Or maybe this will help them generate a better idea. I haven't personally seen something like this gone through Catalyst. Maybe there has been, but I haven't personally seen it. So I'm treading my own path here and tr just trying my best to see that how this works out. Is there anything else to mention about my project? Yeah, let's see. Oh yeah, and just to be very clear, things that I w won't necessarily be doing are things that are very involved, specific jobs or tasks in the security space, such as auditing. That is a very involved process. It's very expensive. There's entire teams that do it. And same thing goes with something like pen testing or penetration testing or red hat blue or red team blue team things. So things like that, I won't be doing, just because that's that takes an and yeah, I can definitely give you tips on maybe who to reach out to or things to consider around those topics. Maybe tools you could try to use your on your own. Like a lot of people leverage Kali Linux, for example, to practice their own pen testing. So maybe you could do your own basic pen testing if you have a website or if you're doing running some kind of server or application for some reason. But yeah. So that is my intro discussion to what my project is. It's very fun talking to myself. Again, I'm the fact that I'm the only one on here will not deter me. I know that if I stick to this, it'll pick up. The word will spread, and we'll get some people in here. Even if you just want to hop in for 2 minutes and ask a question in one of these sessions, right? This is I will do a lot of talking on these sessions, but that's just to fill the dead space and to give you something useful. But really, it's the important thing takeaway here is this is the open forum. I'm going to open up 5 times a week, sit here for an hour, and allow people to come in and out, ask questions as they want, and move on. But yeah. So what I will do, we're at the 30-minute mark. I said earlier I was going to start the some fun general tips at the 30-minute mark, but that's my intro just ended, so we're going to wait until the 40-minute mark, see if anybody joins. If not, then I will go through some basic general tips to help you on a routine basis. So I'm going to go back on mute for the next 6 minutes, and I will be back. Okay, it looks like my audio is back on. So I just went through my entire intro spiel to give people that information. Now I decided to just spend a few minutes to talk about some general basic things and tools you can do and use to on a daily basis. A good mentality to have as well on just generally protecting yourself. We constantly I see a lot of people saying, everybody in crypto, all these people in crypto getting hacked, or I don't like using the word hacked, that has a specific meaning, compromised in some way or another, losing all of their assets, a v variety of things occurring to them, through bad actors or malicious activities. This isn't j this has been always been the case ever since the internet began. The difference is what people don't understand. What would help people understand is, malicious or bad actors are only going to be incentivized to do something, if it's worth their time, right? So back in the day, everybody said Windows was way more vulnerable than Apple Macs. And that's not entirely true. The truth is it ju there were just many more Windows users. So there was more attack surface and incentivization for bad actors to do their malicious things. I just saw an article the other day, a CVE come out where there was a new vulnerability in Macs, and I went to the CVEs and I started looking at the list of all the vulnerabilities, and there's quite a few of them there too. So the thing is, it's not unique. The point of the topic here is it's not unique to the crypto space. It's just the fact if you're using the internet, then the risk is there. So yeah, I mean, every we all have, we like to have NFTs and cryptocurrencies and wallets and so forth, but keep in mind that most of the interaction you're doing is still traditional Web 2 stuff. You're still using social media sites, platforms. You're still using websites. You're still using your mobile phone. All of these things where the standard attacks are still there. So one of the biggest pieces of advice I like to give people is a very generic, or rather maybe straightforward, even actually basic mentality to have, and that's never click on links sent to you. Now, I said never click yesterday, and Jane had a good question. She's like, "Well, what if it's, what if it is a YouTube link?" And that's a good point. So when I say never click, I guess what I mean more accurately is be extremely, extremely cautious, and suspicious of links sent to you. If you don't know how to look at links and identify if something is safe or not, then don't go to that link. Instead, start with going to the source first. So if even if your best friend Bob or Nancy sends you a link to something they found, they might have been socially engineered a fish too to be given a malicious link that they're not aware of, and they might give it to you, and even though you might trust them, you don't know who they got it from, right? So if I get a link for abc.com, well, I might go find ABC on Twitter, or I might try to find ABC's website or maybe ABC's Discord. So I'll start trying to correlate information about them to build my trust in that. Or I might find that link, in a very well-known, publicly trusted location. If I see, certain folks that are, that are trustworthy, that have all been using some link for a week or something, and I'm like, sure, okay, maybe I could trust that. But Another part of that mentality to always have with quote unquote never clicking links is, I think I lost my train of thought. It's really, I think it's, never click on links, but also, I'm not sh maybe that thought wasn't useful if I've already lost it. So I'll move on from that. But you can do things instead, also, outside of just going to the source, find correlating information to build that trust. Just once you start understanding and being, having a normalized mentality on how to identify malicious sites, maybe you can adjust that to something that's appropriate for you. But I really do stand by just never click on links that you're just randomly given, and try to go find correlating, source information. Because a lot of what I think I said this already, a lot of what happens, the most common attacks nowadays for individuals and enterprises alike, they all start with a phishing attempt or some social engineering attempt to get you to go to something. Most of this is actually even done through email. As social media has become so popular, it happens through social media just as much as email now as well. I on a daily basis, I get, Discord DMs, Twitter DMs, Telegram DMs, emails that don't always make it through. That's another thing to mention, because emails are such a perfect attack, a common attack vector for bad actors. You might use Gmail or O365 at work or whatever, but there's always email spam, phishing protection there. But just like I talked to my enterprise customers about layered security, I would suggest the same thing to kind of in a different fashion to individuals, though, where let keep the mindset of layered security in that you can't just trust one thing to 100% protect you. There are times, for example, where I get emails that come in that are phishing attempts or, some sort of social engineering attempt that made it through Google's spam or phishing filter. It happens to every single security solution out there. None of them are 100% foolproof. So don't just rely on that. You can have confidence in it, but it's not the end all be all. So, just be careful with that as well. Not all emails you get in your inbox and not spam are also not spam. Some of them might be. In fact, they will happen. So I talked about using, finding that correlating information to build trust, looking at different social media platforms, things like that. Let me take a drink of my coffee, then I will continue. Another thing to do is you look at is using tools to help you as well. Let me pause here for a moment. I remember the thing I wanted to mention earlier about never clicking links. The other mentality that I was mentioning that just remembered. Actually, I may have just forgot it again. I don't know. There's just so much to share. Anyway, if I think of it a third time, then I'll let you know. I'll go ahead and move on. So back to the tools. Here are some examples of tools you can help yourself protect yourself on. I would suggest using a variety of these on a routine basis. I use them all of the time. Some of them only once in a while, some of them very frequently, but all of the time I'm using some tool to help me continue protecting myself. So things like VirusTotal. So there's a website out there in the cybersecurity community called VirusTotal.com. It's a website where the broad community submits all sorts of URLs, files, hashes, and so forth, and they're put through the ringer. And you can look at the safety rating of these. So you can, if you get a file that you're not sure about that you don't want to open, you can upload it into VirusTotal and it'll scan it and it'll provide you some feedback on if it is potentially safe or potentially suspicious. You can also, if you get a URL that you've never been to before, you can also put that type that URL into VirusTotal, and it'll do the exact same thing on that site. It'll scan it, analyze it, and let you know. Also search by, you can also do a search by URLs, IP addresses, domains, even file hashes if you're familiar with what a file hash is. So every file has different hash values, MD5, SHA-256, and so forth. So take MD5 for example. That's a popular one. Every single file is extremely unique in the sense that everything has its own hash value. If you have a Word document, you change one character in that, save it. It now has a new hash value. If you change one character again, it now has a new hash value. Every single time a file of any sort is ever changed, it automatically gets a new hash value. Now, hash values get more complicated. You could talk about all sorts of things that people try to do maliciously with them, but I can have a file XYZ, and you can have a file named XYZ too, have the exact same file names, right? But those file names won't have the exact same hash. So you can look up that hash, see, and it'll, and try to in VirusTotal and try to build confidence in if that's safe or not. Some other websites I like to mention are here, some things that might require a little, definitely would require a little practice and knowledge growth to be able to use them effectively. But the first thing would be analyzing email headers. So Google, for your Gmail, Google has an analyzer header tool, and Microsoft also has a very widely used email header analyzer tool. You can Google these. You can Google analyze email header analyzer or Microsoft email header analyzer, and you can find that link, and you can put it. You can get you, you just research how to find the email headers. I'm not going to go through that right now, but then you can put the email headers in there, and it'll show you a trace of the path that that email took to get you all the way back to the originating source. So you could see if it was really said person that actually sent it to you, or something else suspicious. A lot of times what happens with emails is they'll obfuscate or slightly change like the domain name. They might change one single letter, or they might have the same name as like Charles Hoskinson at whatever. Or maybe, support at Sunday swap with, two P's or something like that, and try to get you like that. So you can use these email. You can identify them by just looking at them. You can also use the email analyzer headers to, find, j just look at that path, that trace the path of the email. Another one is MX Toolbox. Now, this website has all sorts of things, a plethora of things, looking up who is for domains, looking up different records for emails and domains, looking up all sorts of different information from any sort of domain, URL, website, et cetera, right? So that website is probably for somebody that better understands the technical information that you're seeing. But even just for the new person or the average person, go on there and look at it. Just click around and fumble around, and maybe you'll pick up one little useful piece of knowledge, right? So that's a little more advanced, but don't be afraid. Check it out. And anything I mentioned here, if you want to talk about, just set up a meeting with me. Like I said, on my like I said, you can go to epochsec.io, or you can just ping me directly. But on epochsec.io, you can go to my contact page, click contact form, and email me, or you can use my Calendly link for my calendar and just pick a time, and I'll go through any of this stuff with you. Another thing I like to use is websites for checking, other websites specifically designed for checking the safety of URLs. TrustedSource.org is a very popular one, especially in the cybersecurity space. There's another one. I'm not actually sure if it's still around, but I used to use it, called Securi, Suciuri. That is a security tool, but they also have the free thing out there where you can and look up, scan websites and stuff. Another one is that most people probably aren't familiar with is called transparencyreport.google.com. Google has its own site where you can look up URLs and determine if they're safe or not. Again, it's called transparencyreport.google.com. Okay, one more sip of my coffee, one moment. Okay, so another thing, some other cool websites to look up are websites used to look up detailed information about domains, right? So when you go to a URL, epochs, https colon slash slash epochsec.io. Well, epochsec.io is a domain, right? So you can go to, you can, what I do a lot of times is I'll look up the domain registration details. A lot of information, a lot of the times is obfuscated for, just keeping people's information private. But a lot of times there's always information you can get from looking up domain registration stuff. So, one of the most popular ones, there are two most popular ones. One is lookup.icann.org. So that's lookup.icann.org. This is used by all governments, cybersecurity companies, enterprise companies, etc., right? It's used by all sorts of people. It's the number one accepted place to look. Also, Whois. So if you've ever heard of Whois, so that's who.is. That's the other most popular one as well. Again, you can look up domain information there as well. A lot of times, if I get a new domain from somebody, they say, "Hey, go here." I'll look it up in Whois, and I'll just see if it's something weird, like registered in some like the lowest populated country in the world. I don't know. I might get a little suspicious about that. But yeah, just look at it and try to build your trust, like I've been saying. A GoDaddy, GoDaddy is a domain registrar, someone who is authorized to register domains. They also have their own Whois database as well. I'm not actually sure if it's from who.is, but they definitely have a Whois database on there. So those are things I would do. Keep in mind, let's see, what was I saying? I think I've already mentioned that though, but keeping in mind, an easy tactic used by bad actors, is to take a domain URL, a Discord server, a Twitter page, or a Telegram user, and mimic that, whether it's mimicking the name and just changing one little character, or there are people out there that will duplicate websites to try to match up almost exactly look. To look exactly like it. There are plenty of DEXs, decentralized exchanges out there where that's happened too. And people will connect to it, lose all their funds. So that's why I keep really bashing in the idea of being extremely cautious and suspicious of things sent to you. Always make sure you're going to the true source of what you're trying to go to. Another little thing, crypto, very, very crypto specific, is you'll notice like what you could do a lot now. What you could do is, so take Cardano specifically, for example, because that's a lot of what I talk about. If you go to SundaeSwap or MemeSwap or let me see if I can find some other examples, Book.io. Or Tossidrop, or the clay baking website for Clay Nation, things like that. Drip drops, right? Any of them. If you go there, you can connect your wallet to that site, and create transactions. Right now, most of those websites I said are very sa are definitely safe, but. The point is any website can be compromised. Anybody can create a malicious website. And if you just leave your wallet always, what I personally always do, is every time I use something like maybe MemeSwap, I'll connect my wallet, but when I'm done, I'll disconnect my wallet. I'll go into you, for example, you can go into the Eternal Wallet. You can go to settings and go to the dApp allow list, and you can remove those connections. So I do that every time. Now, of course, that becomes, that's relatively painful, but you'll get used to it in time. A lot of times, what I tell people that I talk to is, there's a balance of security versus availability. What that means is a balance between being secure, right, and then having things easily accessible. So for this, for example, if you disconnect your wallet from the site every single time, then that reduces the accessibility in that you have extra steps to do every time, but it builds your security, it builds your safety. So I always suggest to do things like that. I personally, of course, always lean on the security side, but I also personally have a balance I'm willing to accept as an individual as well. So those are some topics I wanted to cover. I'll probably cover those again. I'll cover those routinely throughout the project. Because those are some of the easiest things to do to protect yourself. But I'll probably have another Twitter space tomorrow to have like a third intro thing to see if anybody is able to join or not. But I will also post this recording to my website for you to listen to. Yeah, thanks for your time. If you've been listening to this recording, and have a great day.